It's been crazy because the biggest change for me is that I've been traveling all over the world.
Yo, gorillas, welcome to the next episode of the Athlete Insider podcast by GoNation. My name is Phil, and today we have a really special guest again, a really, really special guest, the 2 times world champion, the 4 times national champion from the Netherlands, Melanie Driessen. I'm really happy to have you here and to talk about with you about your story, about your workout advice. Welcome to the show, Melanie.
Thank you so much, and thank you for inviting me. So I'm really excited for this conversation. And let's go.
Let's go. Yeah, that's true. So for the people who don't know you or just are interested in how you present yourself, you are on a birthday party and somebody approaches you and says, "Hey, who are you? I'm Frank. Who are you and how do you present yourself?"
Well, I would just say my name is Melanie and I'm 27 years old from the Netherlands. Depends on what kind of birthday it is, but this is going to be an international birthday. So, yeah, I'm a full-time athlete training, but also besides that, I'm working in a restaurant because I need to pay my bills, of course. And since I'm not doing that with the sport, I'm just doing a little bit of work in the restaurant.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's it.
So that already brings up quite an interesting topic because something that we're all working on, I guess, in the sport right now is to make it possible that somebody who's a world champion, somebody who dominates the Dutch calisthenics community or the competitions, let's say like this, isn't able to live from the sport. What is calisthenics from your eyes like right now? How do you explain the sport? How do you explain that you have to work besides in a restaurant? Yeah.
I think because the sport is so new, we don't really have any sponsors or some big companies that help us grow the sport. I think that's the whole problem. And because we are a new sport, so people really have to get into this new sport. And hopefully in the future, they'd be like, "Oh, wow, this sport is so amazing. I want to spend some money on it," you know. But for now, it's a shame, actually, that as an athlete, we have to work besides it. Because for me personally, it's really hard because I work in the evening. So I'll finish work at 11. Then I go home. Before I sleep, it's already midnight. And then the next day, I have to train again. So it's not ideal. But yeah, you have to go, you have to do it.
True. So what does your typical day look like? You wake up at what time?
Normally I would wake up at 7:30. So then I'll just wake up, get a tea or a coffee. And most of the time I go to the gym around 10, 11, something like that. And it depends on the day because some days I'm working in the day, but some days I'm working in the evening. And then also I'm training sometimes during the day or sometimes I'm training during the evening. So my days are really different. I mostly go just with the flow and I'll see if I wake up, I'm thinking, okay, today I really want to train on this, then I'll just go with that.
Okay. Yeah, nice. And I always see you training in different gyms, a lot in Primitive Gym, but also you switch gyms a lot, or how do you do it?
Yeah, because we have so much different gyms. For example, Primitive, it's quite far for me, so I have to go by my car. But we do freestyle most of the times there. So if I'm not freestyling, I'm just focusing on strength or flexibility. I'm just going to one of the local gyms here, and there's a few gyms that I can train at, so it depends really on what I feel like or what my plans are the rest of the day where I'm going to train. But it's really nice that I have so much opportunities and places that I can be training at, so
that's true.
That's a win.
Yeah, that's true. Do you train also outdoors sometimes, or?
Yeah, when it's sunny, I have now a bar 2 minutes walking from my house. Yeah. So that's perfect. And we train in Amsterdam outside. We have a lot of parks in the Netherlands. So it's really good actually here. Yeah.
Nice. Good for you. Okay. So let's get a few steps back. How did you get in touch with calisthenics? What did you do before? And how were your first workouts, competitions of street workout or calisthenics?
Yeah, I started in 2014. Before that, I was a gymnast for 11 years. Yeah, 11. And then I switched to fitness for 2 years. But fitness was kind of boring for me. And I was always the person that was doing some exercises on the mats. You know, I would never use the machines or anything because I didn't understand anything and I wasn't really excited. So I was the one doing Tabata workouts or just some push-ups or something like that. But I got so bored. And then I saw a group that were doing a lot of pull-ups and push-ups and just all the basic calisthenics exercises. So I was like, okay, what is this? What are you guys doing? And they say, yeah, this is calisthenics. And I said, okay, is it possible for me to join? And it's funny because first they were like kind of laughing because there was only men in that class. And then they were like, oh, no, but we know you were an ex-gymnast. I think you can do this, you know? So they were like, oh, yeah, you can join, of course. So I joined for like a half year. I did a lot of basic workout. And then in the newspaper, there was like a story of competitions coming up in the Netherlands in a new park. And I was like, is there competitions in this sport? Like, I didn't have any clue. So I just went there and just, I was like, okay, let's check this out. And then I saw everybody swinging on the bar. And back in 2014, it's really funny because the level was so different than now. So it was like grown-ups playing in the playground, you know, and yeah, they were trying some cool things, but it was totally different than now. But still, I was really excited when I saw this because it was kind of looking like gymnastics, but a little bit more urban, so a little bit cooler in my opinion. And then after a month, I was doing the first world championship. So it went really quick from there.
Well, and what was the experience like between your training group in the Netherlands, your first few trainings, your first weeks, month of training, and then the world championship? How was this contrast?
Well, the world championship back then was also kind of lame. You know, what we were doing, one arm L-sits, hanging L-sits, you know, maybe the maximum that we did was like a 360 from muscle position. But overall, there was not crazy tricks. Maybe I know Ona Kivela from Finland, she was doing a switchblade. So that was like, wow, she just, what did she do, you know?
Okay.
But after like years and years and years, the level just went like sky high. It's like crazy. For me also, it was really hard to always keep on level because you have to work so hard because every time new people coming in and yeah, the level is growing and growing. So that was really awesome to see.
That's true. Like you also saw that we uploaded an old battle from 2016 from the Queen of the Bar competition. And like, I remember everybody was cheering when you did a muscle up, you know, like people were like, oh, she did a muscle up. And even me, I was like, wow, I've never seen a girl doing a muscle up. So like the level is crazy how it changed.
But it was so funny to see that video because of course I remember the competition, but I couldn't remember what I did in the competition. And then when I saw myself, I was like, it's so funny because I feel like back in the days we were way more creative because we didn't have a lot of tricks. So we had to be creative to fill the time, you know. Yeah. And now because there are so many tricks, a lot of people are not really getting any like really creative anymore because they just choose, okay, I'm going to do a Ginger 360, 540. And okay, that's it, you know. So yeah, would be cool if people are getting more creative again.
Yeah, and like I also remember,
you know, because for me this is the same, you know, I have to come up with some new things maybe.
Yeah, and like it seemed more relaxed when I watched the videos from early on. The athletes had some time to cheer up the public, like in between of the sets. And right now, like the athletes have so many tricks, so they want to fit in their they planche, their ginga, their everything. So they don't have any time left to like to talk with the crowd or to communicate with the crowd. That's true.
Yeah, they're more like focused on their self. Yeah. Yeah, but I think also because the elements and the tricks are getting a lot harder, so you have to focus more. It's kind of hard if you really have to do a hard trick and then you are focusing on the public, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Sure. So let's talk about your first championship, world championship. How did it go out for you? What was your experience there?
I remember I was super nervous because I go in this new sport. I'm doing calisthenics freestyle for like a month now. And then I have to join the world championship. So I was like, I was so nervous. I didn't know what was going on. And my rounds, if I look back at it right now, I'm laughing at myself because it doesn't make any sense what I'm doing right there, you know? And then I'm also failing, but in the same time, I'm trying to act a little bit cool because, you know, we are a new urban calisthenics style. So it's just a laugh to watch, but it was fun.
Okay.
Let's put it there. Yeah.
So what would you give to someone who is just in front of his first competition and or somebody who is thinking about competing? What would you give him like as an advice from your experience now?
I would say just like go in a competition prepared. So don't go in a competition like, okay, I'm really going to freestyle my competition, because most of the time that's when it goes wrong. So yeah. If you come prepared and you just enjoy and be in the moment, I think that's the most important thing.
Okay. Nice. So like, yeah, get it. Okay. So let's switch back to the present. So you're quite successful and you're the current world champion. So like crazy last year for you, how is it like right now, like how did it change your life? How did the sport influence you from the, when you look back, like doing fitness on the mattresses and Tabata workouts to now?
Yeah, it's been crazy because the biggest change for me is that I've been traveling all over the world. Like in 1 year, I traveled like maybe 16 times. So it was insane. Right now, because of the coronavirus, it's not a lot of traveling going on. So hopefully that will get back because I really enjoy doing the workshops and everything around the world. But yeah, it's been some crazy years.
And do you feel like stress on your body? Like also talked with other competitive athletes like Tony Gasté, like he also did a lot of competitions then last year. But like how does it affect your body, like traveling so much, competing so much?
Right now I'm not competing that much because maybe competing like 4 times a year. Mm-hmm. I just choose the competition that I really want to go to. So that's well. The only thing that's, yeah, what makes you really tired, the travelings are really nice, but it's really tiring because you have to wait on the airport, you have to wait on the plane, then most of the time in the country you have to wait more. So it's really good for an experience, but sometimes I was like, okay, I'm just going to stay home for just 2 months because I need to recover from the flights, you know? Oh. So, yeah.
Okay.
And also, yeah. If I'm competing, I'm mostly I'm not traveling the months before that, so I just can stay here and get prepared for the competition.
Get it. And something that also went into my head when I prepared the competition, the interview, I also thought about like the last competition where we saw each other at in the Netherlands from Royal Bars, the cup where you competed just out of fun. Against men, and it jumped into my head when you said that you began training with men only. So what is it like as a female calisthenics athlete, do you compare yourself to other like male athletes? What is it like in such a, like calisthenics is more a male sport right now, like unfortunately, but how does it affect you?
In the beginning, I remember that the level was still so low. So for example, in the dynamics, I was always comparing myself with the guys because I saw guys doing new things. But back then, and the new move was a shrimp flip. So I tried to do shrimp flip and I succeeded. So I could level up with the guys in dynamics. But after a while, the level went up so high that for me it was impossible to like compare myself with the guys, because they are already starting to do 720s on everything, you know. So, but I'm still getting inspired by males and females, and I think that's just, you just have to check what is suitable for you, what move you would like to do. But I think it's always better to set your goal higher than always try to compare yourself just with a lower level, you know.
Okay. So what does happen in the mind of Melanie? Does it motivate you when you see someone like really doing crazy, crazy stuff, and when you compare it to someone who is like really superior on a superior level? Or is it like just, is it demotivating you, or are you like, I will get it, like I will be the first female athlete who does this and this?
It's changing, because sometimes I get really motivated, but I think it's not really about the videos. It's more about myself, you know, because I have times that I'm super motivated and everything is going really well. And I have times that I'm really looking for motivation and then my level's going down. And yeah, then whenever I see a crazy trick, I'm just like, oh, that's cool. But I'm not really like, okay, I have to try that, you know, but yeah, so it goes up and down, but I think that's normal for most athletes.
Okay, and what was the most intense and successful moment in your career? What is the one moment that you keep in your heart right now?
I think that's the winning this world championship.
This because
the last one, yeah, because I remember in 2016 I also won, but it was. The win was totally different for me, because after this year, I got injured for 5 months. Mm-hmm. Then I went back in 2018 to compete. And then I failed 2 times in the world championship. So I had a year of injury. Then I had a year of failure. And then I had a year that I was winning. So this win for me was really emotional. I remember I couldn't believe it. I just started crying. I was like, what? Because that was so... 2 years of a pretty hard mental time for me, and then feels like everything was worth it in the end, you know.
Well, didn't expect that. I expected that it was the first one, you know, like I thought the first win at the world championship is the thing, but makes sense. Okay, like what is the move, the hardest move that you've learned so far?
Well, I learned it, but I don't have it anymore. Does that count?
Yeah, let's say.
I think that would be the muscle up 540, because okay. I was like 4 years ago or something, I would be able to do it. And I have been trying to get it back, but I don't know how, but I can't get it back. So I find that the hardest move, because it's so hard to do it right now.
To do and to keep. Okay.
Yeah.
So like my next question would be, what is your advice to someone who wants to learn this move? But like, but that's hard, like, because you could give the advice maybe to yourself even, but no, like what would be your advice if somebody asks you, hey Mel, I saw the muscle up for 540, how do I learn it?
For me, I think it's really important that you just start on a low bar or something, you know, because you really have to understand what's going on in this movement, because you have to stay on top of the bar. And that's the scary part of this move, because sometimes if you don't go high enough, you can maybe hit your back on the bar, or like I've seen some people hit their arm or their, like, it's kind of shit if you don't land it well, or your rib, because I know Small Spartan, he also injured his rib during this move. But I think just do it a lot of times, and that's with every freestyle move. You have to do it over and over and over, because only then it gets perfect.
Okay.
So yeah, start small, maybe with some mats, and then just do it 1 million times, and when you feel more secure, then you can go higher or harder or just like that. But I think most of the time, if you go crazy on one move, the thing is that you can get injured, or you get really scared because maybe you feel really bad, and then you are like, oh, I don't want to do this move anymore. So just start slowly and build it up from there.
What is your plan now to get it back?
Same. I think, yeah, I think I'll just, hopefully the gymnastic will open soon. Mm-hmm. And like there's the foam pit and everything. So maybe I'll just do it there, or Primitive have a foam pit as well. So I'll just have to keep on trying. That's it. Never give up.
Yeah. And how did
only pull up?
Yeah, that's something that I will also jump back to in a second. But how, where do you keep this motivation? Like, where do you get this motivation from to keep going? Of course, you say you're a professional athlete; it's your job in some way. How do you keep the motivation to not say, "Fuck it, I'm gonna just learn another hard move"? Like, why do we want to get this move back?
Well, it goes same with that. It goes up and down, because some days I'm like, okay, I'm not going to train this move again. And then I forget it for a month or something, you know? So it's not that I'm really focused on it. So maybe if I would, it would be back already. But yeah, it's always hard, because now also there's so many moves that you want to learn and so many moves that you need to maintain. So it's like, you don't have enough time for doing all the moves. So you have to choose. So sometimes I'm just like, okay, let me try the muscle up 540 again. And then I try it maybe 10 times or something. And I'm like, okay, it's not going to work today. Okay, next training.
Okay. The situation how we met each other was 2015, where we launched our calendar and we looked for the strongest, the most good looking athletes, of course, to fill the calendar. And I also wrote a message to you. I still remember it, because I didn't expect you to write back, but I was like, yeah, maybe she answers, maybe she wants to be featured. And yeah, it was like, it was really, really nice to have you there and to get back to me. And also I remember the 2016 Bar Warrior in Bremen, because mm-hmm. you were also.
This is like, it feels like a lifetime ago, you know, it's been... Yeah, that's so crazy.
Yeah, and it's crazy how everything changed, like the sport, also we as a person, the whole thing. Because I still remember, like I found it a few weeks ago. First, I found your Melanie shirt because we changed t-shirts. I gave you a Never Give Up Only Pull Up shirt, and you gave me a Melanie with a crazy design, you know, Melanie bars on the back, like you know.
Oh yeah. I think with the front lever and the planche, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like a quote. Yeah. There was also a quote on the front.
Yeah.
What was it?
Bosch bring out the beast in
yes.
me.
Yes. Yes, that was it. Yeah, and I just found it. So yeah, that was quite funny, because the question that I have, how did the person Melanie change since then? Like what happened? In your personality, in your life, we already said, but in your personality, what had changed?
Well, I think I got, if I look back then, I was, I think back then I was living more in my ego, you know, because I remember back then when I was doing competitions, I don't know, I was always like in the competition acting like a little bit cool and tough and everything, you know, and I'm not even like that, you know, I'm just me, and I'm not that person. So I feel like throughout the years, I just get more and more myself, and yeah, I'm just still enjoying the sport, and yeah, but overall not, I don't really have a big, big change or something.
Okay. Yeah, but I can imagine I bet you like everybody is insecure a little bit when he does like his first competitions, etc. So maybe it was your strategy to overplay it, to hide it. And I think everybody has its own strategies, because yeah, you see a lot of athletes doing that, and it's not bad, but you see it's not the person, like it's a shy person, it's a calm person or something, but he's acting
exactly like yeah that's what happened. And I think that's a lot of people that just starting, they acting like this because probably out of insecurity, because you don't know how to act and you're on the stage and everybody's looking at you and everybody's cheering on you, so you just be like, Yes. I think it's just going to be like that. Yeah. And then after the years, you get more comfortable in competitions. Well, I'm still really nervous, but overall, it's better than before. Yeah.
Okay. What advice would you give your let's say 2014 self when you started right now?
I would just say like what I said before in the interviews, like get more prepared for competitions, because I would go into a competition like most of the time not really prepared, or I didn't really train my move that often. So when I look back at it, I can see myself failing a lot in competitions. So I think that would be a good advice.
Okay. And what are the main errors or mistakes that you see young athletes do right now in the scene?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think I see a lot of people rushing through their rounds. So they don't finish the moves. They don't finish the statics. It looks kind of a mess. So I think if you look at the really pro athletes, they look really calm in their competition. They finish the move. Everything looks really smooth. The statics hold are clean and 3 seconds. So that's what you can see. What I see is a beginner or a pro.
Okay. And what are your goals for 2020 now? What are you working on?
Right now, I'm working on just getting my level back and my strength back, because I just came out of a little motivation problem, because I think also during the coronavirus thing going on, that's really got my motivation down. Because I was preparing for FIBO and everything was going really well. And then I heard the competition is canceled. And then I was like, oh, well, that was my full motivation. And then I was thinking, okay, maybe World Championship in July. And then that got canceled. So, yeah, in the last months, it was kind of hard. But now I start to build my strength again and get motivated again to get ready for 2021.
So this year is preparation and next year is competition and showtime.
Yes.
Nice.
Exactly.
I think we talked about it once, but I still want to share with the people. What is your mindset when you go into a competition? Is it, I want to crush the other person. I want to show the public that I'm better. I want to make a show for everyone. Like, what is your mindset when you go into a competition?
Well, first of all, I'm super nervous when I go in competition. Like, if people saw me backstage, they're going to be like, what's going on with her? Because I'm walking, I go to the toilet and I go back and I'm just like stressing out, because in my rounds, I don't want to make any mistakes anymore, because I've done that. And then now I feel like I want to go into my round and do everything well. And when I prepared well, I'm a little bit less nervous, but still overall I'm always super nervous. But when I go on stage, it feels like I just snap out of it, and when I start, everything is fine. But it's just the way through going into the competitions that is just like So yeah, no, I'm just mostly I'm just focusing on myself and on the rounds that I prepared well, and I want to do that. So I'm not really focusing on other athletes at the moment then.
Okay, get it. Like, if I were a girl, or even like I even think it as a boy, but how is it possible to have the performances that you have? Like, what is the special thing about you? Is it that you train harder than everyone else? Do you have the crazy genetics? Do you have do you commit 100% to it? What is the difference that your training makes that you perform as you do and that you have the results that you do?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of experience in competitions, training, of course, and just know, like, I always make sure that I know the rules well, so that I can make my rounds based on the rules. And I think that's a good advice for everybody, because a lot of people just go into a competition and they haven't even go through the rules, so they really don't know what's going on. And then they're like, well, my rounds were really good, but how come I get so less points, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay. And did you have competitions in gymnastics before?
Yes.
So you have the experience also from there.
Exactly, yeah.
Because in gymnastics, it's more structured, right? Like everybody reads the rules, or the rules are known to everyone, or how can I imagine it in gymnastics?
You have a really big system of the rules, because when you're young and a young gymnast, they just have a routine that everybody have to do the same routine. But then when you get older, you pass a certain age, you can come up with your own routines. But there are certain rules. For example, you have to do a minimum of 8 elements. You have to do 3 combinations, and it should be existing out of this kind of level element and this kind of level element, and then you get a bonus. So it's like a big puzzle that you have to solve, and then you can just choose whatever element suits you and what you like. But yeah, in my opinion, this is not really a nice way, because you're not free at all, because yeah, the only thing you're free at is choosing your elements. But overall, yeah, it's not so much fun like calisthenics.
Is it not only like, is it less fun competing, or is it also less fun watching than with these rules?
Well, I think both.
Okay. Get it. So it's not only the music that makes calisthenics interesting, but also like the rules and
the rules. It's more like the freedom that we have, yeah. And the freedom of making your own moves and coming up with your own combinations and everything.
Okay, get it. Perfect. One question before we go into the quick questions, quick answer session. What does your nutrition look like? What does the nutrition of a world champion look like?
Well, for me, it's like, when I go into a competition, I will really focus on eating a lot of vegetables, getting my proteins. But normally, I don't really look at the nutritions. Maybe I take some extra vitamin if I don't forget it, or I'll just focus on the protein. But it's like, I don't really have a strict line. And that's also my problem, because when I'm not out of the competition, most of the time I'm gaining weight like so quickly, because I'm eating pie and I'm eating chocolate, and then it's just like, yeah, not so well.
Okay, so you're more a person that gains easier weight than like losing weight?
No, I'm losing weight easily also, but I have to work for it. Like, I have to change my way of eating, of course. Like, yeah.
Okay.
But it's balance, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, nice. So we start with the quick questions. Pizza or burger?
Pizza.
Nice. Are you a dog or a cat person?
Cat.
Okay. And your favorite location for holidays?
Italy.
A specific city,
because,
or
because of the pizza?
Okay. A specific city or island, or like just in general Italy?
Yeah, I just love the culture there. Like, the people are really nice, and yeah, I just like that kind of that country. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. And there's a little bit more sun than in the Netherlands, I guess.
A lot more, I think.
Nice. What would you work as if social media just disappeared? Or what would change for you?
If it just was not there anymore?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to change whatever I'm doing.
Okay. So still competing, doing workshops. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Do you have a favorite athlete or like a hero from early on, maybe even today?
It's really hard, because there's so many athletes right now, and a lot of really high-level athletes, so everybody have their own style. But if I have to choose one, I would still say Eric Ortiz.
Wow.
because I really like his style, and he's really creative still, you know, and he's super strong, and he's like OG. So yeah, if I have to choose one, I would say him.
Okay, nice. Do you have a favorite book? Are you a reader? No,
I'm not a reader at all.
Okay, skip this question. best calisthenics event you've ever been at?
It's gonna be FIBO.
FIBO.
World of Bar Heroes.
World of Bar Heroes. Okay, not even like the old days, like the King of the Bar Baristi days, but the nowadays with World of Bar Heroes.
Yeah, the ones that I still haven't been able to compete at, because every time I'm injured or something happens or it gets cancelled. But like, it looks so cool with the scoring and the lightning and everything, and they're organizing it so well. So it's like, yeah, I can't wait to finally compete there.
Okay, nice. So hopefully next year, maybe in 2 years, we'll see. Like, we don't know. Yes. Last question, statics or dynamics?
Dynamics.
Nice.
And that's not just because my statics is, like, I love statics. I'm not gonna lie about that, because I think it's really important to have both, of course, because you're an athlete. But I just love the way of swinging and flying through the air.
Okay. Get it. Nice. So, if people want to get in touch with you or find you, learn from you, how do they find you? You have Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, I saw. Like, where do they find you best?
I think it would be best. I'm most active on Instagram. And TikTok is more, I put some push-up challenges and everything. So maybe people are excited to join those kind of challenges, that they want to do something like that, then can follow on TikTok. But YouTube, okay. I'm not really on that.
Yeah, I saw that. But maybe like Instagram, you reply to your messages, and like, if people want to get something from you, like or reach you in a kind way, Instagram is the best way, right?
Yeah, I try to react to people, but it's hard sometimes because there's most of the time a lot of messages, so I'm just choosing sometimes to what to answer and what not to answer.
Nice. Okay, so random. Perfect. We're coming to an end. Before you can say goodbye and end the episode, I want to thank you, Melanie, for your time, like for taking the 50 minutes or 40 minutes. So thanks a lot for that. And thanks for everyone listening to this till the end. I'm really happy for everyone like taking this time, because in nowadays it's like a lot of time, 40 minutes to sit down and listen to something. So I hope you were able to take some things with you. If you like this episode, like, comment and subscribe, and say subscribe to Melanie. All her links are in the description. And thanks everyone, and you can have this the last word. Goodbye and ciao.
Thank you so much, everybody, and hopefully you get really motivated and excited to start training, or if you're already training, never stop. Only pull up.